We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, you got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
NFL and NFL draft analyst at thedraftscout.com.
I gave him a 69 overall, so very nice grade for him.
Going through college and NFL film.
Jalen Johnson, he gets it. He's smart. He's tough. He's feisty. 6 foot, 193. Ran a 4.5 flat. He knew he needed labrum surgery. Went ahead and did the combine. Did the entire thing with a torn labrum. So I love this guy.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
Hey, Ryan, I'm wondering, as you've been going on the pro day circuit and you started to evaluate these quarterbacks, what's different in the way you look at these guys physically and then some of the kind of investigations you're doing and talking to these guys and learning about them? What's changed from when you've done this in years past?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's great to kind of be going through this with Matt and our coaches and our scouts. And, you know, everybody's doing a thorough job. Matt and I just got back from a pro day this week. And I think it's just us being connected on the style of quarterback that fits our offense, what we're looking for from an intangible standpoint. And I think it all comes back to just the personnel department and the coaches being connected in every move we make. And Kevin, that's just not quarterback. That's everybody we add to our team. And I think the longer we're together, the more connected we are, the better we are with our decision-making. I think that's been proven over the last couple of drafts.
Fart.
Ugh. God, just seriously, come on. We're past self-parody with this stuff. Ugh, that's the Teflon Don, Ryan Pace, who can be fired up about Mike Glennon and fired up about Nick Foles, and now he's fired up about Andy Dalton, and they're collaborating, and good God already. Oh, Matt Miller is on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He is now an analyst for ESPN. He's a big shooter now. He can still find time for us. Amazing. He's on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at apnissan.com. What's up, Matt?
How's it going, Dan? I always will make time for you. I can remember when we first started doing this together, you know, weekly, and you guys were sending me like pastrami and stuff from Chicago to Missouri, mm-hmm. just so I could feel like I was experiencing, you know, the best of Chicago. So until the bosses tell me I can't, I will always make time for you.
Aw, that's so sweet. Nice.
Thank you. These pro days are
your reputation, right?
Yeah, all of these pro days that are so perfectly arranged to make everybody as comfortable as possible. Let's just play the Lego movie Everything Is Awesome, because that's how it seems. I mean, all these eye popping numbers and everybody's amazing. This can't all be true, right?
It is not all true. Absolutely not. There are not 50 prospects in the 2021 class who can run a sub 4.4. There might not be 50 people legitimately in the NFL that can run a sub 4.4. So it's hard to believe that, like, everyone, you know, I saw the meme where people were like doing the Oprah thing, like, you get a 4.3, you get a 4.3. It's like, no, this stuff isn't real. It's not, but that's okay. And, you know, so a week ago, I was at the BYU Pro Day. And I got there super early to do a hit, and I walked in, and it was like 70s, like carpet. It was so thick and spongy. And I actually texted some people. I was like, man, I wouldn't run a 40 here. There's no way. These times would be so slow on this surface. But then you go somewhere like Penn State is notorious for having this like beautiful, hard surface to run on. And so it's like the beauty of the NFL Combine, and everyone, like, people love to make fun of the Combine. Like, oh, you're running in your underwear. Like, and that doesn't really matter. But the beauty of the Combine is it's a controlled environment. It is truly a science experiment of everything is the same. Every player goes through the same workouts in the same order. They work out on the same surface. They're given the same opportunities, the same schedule. So it's controlled. We can look at Justin Fields and Trey Lance and say, okay, these two quarterbacks are doing the exact same thing, the exact same time. We can use the combine to maybe serve as a tiebreaker, or we're putting them in equally stressful situations to see how they respond to that. So the thing about the pro days is, like you said, they're set up for everyone to have success. You don't believe the 40 times. There's a reason scouts usually add an eighth of a second, you know, or 0.08, you know, to these 40 times. Some do, you know, a full tenth of a second. So you just have to take it with a grain of salt. If the guy's fast on tape, he's probably fast on the field too.
Okay, but that said, I am wondering if Justin Fields is being underestimated after his pro day. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, he absolutely is being underestimated. And by some, I think it's weird with Justin Fields because it reminds me of Justin Herbert last year, where we had watched this quarterback for 3 years and we all knew he was really good. But by the time spring came around, we were like, well, let's poke some holes in things. You know, well, he didn't work to his third read a whole lot. And, well, they didn't let him run at Oregon. We're not sure he's going to be able to do that in the NFL. And, you know, he's kind of quiet. Can he be a good leader? These are all things that, you know, that scouts were telling me, that I was telling you guys, that, hey, this is what is said about him. So I do think we get to a point of prospect fatigue where we're over-evaluating guys. You know, it happened with both of the Boses. It happens anytime there's a top player who is just, he's been the guy wire to wire, this happens. The only two players I can remember where it didn't happen was Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence, because they were widely regarded as generational prospects. You can look at Andrew Luck coming out in 2012. It's like, this is the best quarterback a lot of people have seen since Peyton Manning. It's the same now with Trevor Lawrence. So he's not getting that extra level of scrutiny because it's just widely, you know, considered, hey, this guy's the best thing since Andrew Luck. He's going to be the first pick. Let's move on. So he's not even getting that added layer of scrutiny that Justin Fields or Mac Jones or Zach Wilson are going through right now.
It's happening again with the quarterbacks, and I guess we just have to get used to it, that even somebody we think who's maybe a second-tier prospect, all that means is instead of going in the top three, they go in the top eight. And the names just – every year, my rule of thumb is whatever quarterback you hear, assume he's going to go higher than you think he's going to go. And that leads me to my question about Kellen Mond. And yeah. I don't know if he can play the position, but my God, can he throw? I mean, I know there's...
Yeah, he can move.
He can move, but the ball out of his hand, I mean, he was just flicking his wrist, and that thing was flying. And I'm wondering what that says about him. I mean, I know we fall in love with traits, and some of this stuff looks sexy, and then he gets on the field and he can't play. Where are you on Kellen Mond?
I have a third-round grade on Kellen Mond, early third-round. I'm doing retweeted, thank you. I'm doing a 7 rounds in 7 days. So a 7-round mock draft stretched over a week. And I have Kellen Mond going late round two. And I that's based on what I'm hearing from people around the NFL. I think you get to that point of the New Orleans Saints, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got a lot of teams at the end of round two who could be looking at a quarterback of the future. And so with Kellen Mond, like you said, Dan, he's not ready to play right now. He's not. But he actually was a 4-year starter at Texas A&M. So 4-year starter in the SEC with a gigantic arm, really good mobility, and he did get better every year in college. So you like to see that. You know, you want to see the 42 games or whatever it was that he started and that he got better every year. There's a rule of thumb in scouting that every 10 games a quarterback should get better. Kellen Mond, you've got 4 sections of that to watch him improve. Now, Jimbo Fisher does not have a great track record of sending quarterbacks to the NFL. Christian Ponder, E.J. Manuel, Jameis Winston, it's not pretty. But those guys were all first-round picks. So if Kellen Mond's drafted, you know, pick 60, pick 64, somewhere in that range, then I think he is, you know, viewed as somebody that, okay, there's no pressure to get him on the field. Let's see what we have here.
Davis Mills of Stanford is somebody I think I've seen you group into that Kellen Mond type of quarterback level. What's your evaluation on him?
Yeah, so he's in a similar position of – So Davis Mills is almost the opposite of Kellen Mond, and we just haven't seen him play enough football. I think he had like 11 starts in college. It's not enough to evaluate. But when you watch him move, when you watch him throw the ball, it's pretty exciting. He has a great arm. He's more prototypical in his size, 6'3", 220. And when you watch him play in that small sample size, it is exciting. You know, he's more of probably what we would have looked at 5 years ago at the quarterback position of this is a quote-unquote pro-style drop-back passer. But he ran, I believe, a 4.8 at his pro day. He has some movement ability, and he is in a class of kind of smaller quarterbacks. He is a big, sturdy player who, unfortunately, only played 13 games in college. And you guys know better than anyone in Chicago, when you draft a quarterback who's played 13 games or so in college, it's really, really hard to evaluate. So with Davis Mills, again, I think in that range of 60 to 70 is where he'll be drafted, and he'll be viewed as a draft and develop type player. The beauty in that is you're drafting him in the early second, late third round, or excuse me, late second, early third, instead of at number two overall.
What is more likely if the Bears stay where they are at 20, that there is going to be an elite difference-making cornerback available or an elite difference-making offensive tackle?
I would say an elite corner is probably not going to happen, because there's Patrick Surtain, the second from Alabama. He will come off the board somewhere between 10 and 13, probably. And then there's J.C. Horn, who will probably come off the board between 10 and 16. So you're just missing the top two players. The other one who would have been in consideration there is Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech, who is having a microdiscectomy to kind of work on some back spasms he's had. So he's had two back surgeries. He's had a knee injury. When he's on the field, he might be the best corner in this class. He's definitely the fastest. He's 6'1 plus. He's 200 plus pounds. He had four interceptions the last time he played. So he's a really good prospect. I think the question is, he opted out of the 2020 season, and he's just now having the back cleaned up. So you wonder if it's still a problem, or if once teams kind of got their hands on him, they're like, hey, you need to get this cleaned up now instead of trying to play through it. That does happen. So I think that's the question right now. You know, Jalen Johnson last year waited until after the combine to have his labrum repaired. So things like that do happen. It is enough of a concern right now that he will probably drop from being a top 15 pick to being a bottom 15 pick in the first round. But a team like Chicago could end that slide if they believe he's healthy. As far as the offensive linemen go, it's similar to the corner position where there's two elite ones, Penei Sewell from Oregon, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. They're going to go pretty early, top 15 picks. And then there is a drop-off. The guys like Christian Darrisaw, Virginia Tech, Elijah Vera Tucker from USC. The beauty with Elijah Vera Tucker is he is a left guard who last year had to swing out and play left tackle, and he was the best offensive lineman in the Pac-12 playing a new position. So you see his poise, you see his quickness in his hands and his feet, and you get a player kind of like a Brandon Scherff or a Zach Martin where, okay, we probably would put you at guard, but we know you could play tackle if need be and be pretty good at that position too.
Okay, we know Trevor Lawrence is your number one far and away. I don't know who thinks he's not. Give me your next best three players in the draft.
Yeah, I think this is easy. I really do. So it's Trevor Lawrence for me. Then it's Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver from LSU. Then it's Kyle Pitts, the offensive weapon from Florida. And then Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon. And then, so no other quarterbacks. I don't feel comfortable putting a top five grade on. I really, really like Justin Fields. I don't feel comfortable putting a top five grade on him just because of mechanics. Like, there's some things that need fixed. I don't feel comfortable with Zach Wilson, who is really a one-year wonder at, you know, BYU, where they didn't really play much of a schedule this year. It's hard to overcome the 2019 tape when they did play a tough schedule. Mac Jones, Trey Lance, like, these are four really good quarterbacks after Trevor Lawrence. It's just really hard to put a top five grade on someone.
I'm starting to hear buzz more than I did over Oklahoma State tackle Tevin Jenkins. What do you think of him?
Yeah, so I actually had the chance to interview him maybe 3 weeks ago at Exos in Dallas, Texas, and he's a really impressive young man, and I think the beauty with him is the versatility. You know, he's played right tackle, he's played left tackle, he has the size that you want, over 6'5", 320, but he moves really well, and my favorite thing about him is his meanness in the run game. There's a clip of him taking Joseph Osai, who will probably be a top 40 pick, from the hash off the field, like into the sideline, hitting the players on the bench. And so you love that tenacity almost to his game. So not only is he, you know, agile enough to be, I think he could play left tackle in the NFL, but you know he's going to bring a ton of toughness to the run game.
And just to clarify, you don't have anybody else in your top five grades outside of the four you mentioned?
So five. So Trevor Lawrence, Ja'Marr Chase, Kyle Pitts, Penei Sewell. Oh, I'm sorry. You called me on that one. And Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State, who I still believe in Micah Parsons as another opt-out player. I mean, he's running a 4.43 at 245 pounds. He can rush off the edge. fans in that area who haven't seen Micah Parsons play, you probably have, he's like what Jalen Smith was at Notre Dame before he got hurt. It's someone who's just, you can tell he's more athletic. Like, he's the best player on the field. Every time he's on the field, he can do three phases of the game defensively. He can cover. He can stop the run. He's a very, very good player off the edge. So Micah Parsons is exactly what NFL teams need right now, you know, in terms of that, someone who can do three different types of things.
Matt Miller, before we let you go, what do you make of the news that we just got, Matt Nagy announcing that he will return to calling the Bears offensive plays?
Yeah, I said this the other day to someone. I don't know what that means. I don't know what Matt Nagy's scheme looks like anymore. You know, and I mean, that's good. I think that it's taking accountability for it. But, I mean, we're in, what, year four? Like, there's no continuity here. There's no consistency. So, I mean, that's great. You're starting over with another new quarterback. You're starting over with who knows what the wide receiver corps is going to look like. The secondary, your arguably best player from the secondary is gone. So I like that Matt Nagy's saying, hey, I understand if we fail this year, I'm fired. But that he's, you know, putting himself on the line, basically.
Want to ask about your quarterback evaluation of Andy Dalton? Do I want to?
Hey, you know what? I liked Andy coming out. I really did. I know that was a long time ago, 2011. We've all gotten smarter since then, hopefully. But I did like Andy coming out. And for all the, like, all the heat he's going to take, because y'all in Chicago are tough on people, Andy is a good athlete. He's a smart quarterback. Like, he was in a not great situation in Dallas last year. Both offensive tackles were hurt. He was just thrown in when Dak got hurt. And he didn't play terribly. He really didn't. So I don't think, like, looking at Andy Dalton, I'm okay with it. I hope they do draft a, you know, one of the guys we talked about, Mond or Mills or maybe Kyle Trask falls. I hope they do that. But I think they could win 8-9 games again with Andy Dalton at quarterback.
All right. I'll take that, kind of.
Hey. Yeah, it's better than the alternative, I guess.
Optimism to end of the day, yeah.
Sure, could be worse. It helps us with our baseball misery for the moment. Matt Miller, we'll talk again soon, I hope. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Have a great one.
Thank you,
Matt. That is Matt Miller, now of ESPN. We got a bunch of news that's breaking out here, too. The Blackhawks just sent out a release to say that forward Brandon Hagel will not practice. He is in the COVID-19 protocol. Also, John Heyman says that MLB is postponing the Mets-Nationals series for more follow-up testing and contact tracing. So that series now has been postponed to determine the full extent of the Nationals' COVID situation. So apparently it is getting worse and not better. And maybe we can say the same for the Bears, notwithstanding what Matt just said, because we're going to hear from Matt Nagy next up, because they met with the media today. We've got Ryan Pace. We've got Matt Nagy. We've got sound from both of them, primarily the general manager, Ryan Pace, talking about what's going on right now. But the news headline is that Matt Nagy, once again, we'll be calling plays, whatever they may be, for Andy Dalton and the Bears. So you'll hear from their decision makers next on Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score.
Premier voice of the White Sox and one of the top voices in baseball, Steve Stone, talks Sox three times a week on the Score.
Even down the road, Michael Kopech will move into the starting rotation. Let's talk 2021, this year. It's not necessarily what's best for Michael Kopech. It's what's best for the baseball team.
Don't miss Chicago baseball icon Steve Stone talking Sox three times a week throughout baseball season on Sports Radio 670 The Score. An Odyssey Station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
As far as calling plays, you know, I'm going to be the one calling the plays this year. And so I know you'll probably be asking that. So we can, you know, just let you know that from the front end. But that's an exciting thing for me to get back to knowing where we're at. And, you know, it's the fun part right now is building what we want to do better, getting that right with coaches and players that are going to be with us.
Better is good. Maybe he figures if I'm going out, I'm going to go out in charge of the plays. I'm not going to let someone else's vision or instincts determine my future with the Bears or elsewhere. I get it. I guess we should have seen it coming. It just seems a little bit strange since they touted the relationship with Bill Lazor as something that was meaningful in their acquisition of Andy Dalton.
All I could think was, how was I going to work Ice Ice Baby together with the Matt Nagy Ryan Pace press conference. And all I came up with was stop, collaborate, and listen. Pace and Nagy are talking, so we all have to listen. And that's as far as I've gotten with it. Biggs brought up the best point to me on this on Twitter when he said that nobody should express surprise that Matt Nagy's calling plays for the Bears offense, because if he's under pressure to win or show progress, that he's going to have to be at the controls of it.
Yeah, that's what I said. If I'm going out in charge and not subcontracting this to someone else. So yes. Let's listen in to what was said. We'll start out with a chunk here from Ryan Pace. This is some of the most significant stuff. Nagy's piece of news notwithstanding. So you got that from him. Now let's hear from Pace about the overview of the quarterbacking situation, what didn't work, and what is supposed to now.
We haven't talked to you since Mitch wound up with Buffalo, and now with the benefit of hindsight and with some finality to it, can you share with us kind of your overview about why it didn't work out the way you had hoped?
Yeah, I think just as I look back, I think, you know, Mitch battled for this team, Pat, and I think, you know, really a lot of our ability to be in the playoffs two of the last 3 years is a credit to him. And I think, you know, he sacrificed a lot for this team, and I just say we wish him nothing but the best, and now we're looking forward.
What went into the decision to not bring him back?
There's a lot of factors, and there's multiple people involved in that. And you know, at the end of the day, we want to get better in different areas of our team, and that's one of the areas of our team where we feel like we're improving.
Mark Potash.
Hey, Ryan, where's the upgrade with Andy Dalton with regard to that quarterback position? What does Dalton give you that you weren't getting at quarterback last year?
Yeah, hey, Mark. I think, you know, with Dalton, the things we like as you look at it, you know, obviously his experience, he's a 9-year starter. He's been to 3 Pro Bowls, a lot of leadership with Andy Dalton, decision-making. We like his decision-making. He's won a lot of games in this league. Andy's been a durable player, too. I think that's something that's understated. And I think really Andy fits our style of offense. You know, when you go through it with our scouts and coaches, you know, he can handle the drop back game. He can handle the RPOs, the play actions, the movements. And we just felt, you know, as we went through those free agent quarterbacks, he's one of the more complete quarterbacks that we evaluated this year in free agency. And we're excited to have him.
Jeff Dickerson.
Hey, Ryan. So overall, just your comfort level with the quarterback room with Andy and Nick, just how comfortable do you feel with that? And having those two veterans, would that make it easier if you were to, down the road, maybe add a younger player with those guys already in the room in that mix?
Hey, Jeff, good to hear you. I think you're right. You know, we have a lot of experience in that room when you look at it now. When you combine Andy and Nick, that's a lot of games in the NFL. So, I think it does bode well for a young quarterback to enter that room with the experience of those two guys and some of the accolades they have in our league.
Dan Wiederer.
Hey, Ryan. One of the reasons Andy is here now is because things didn't work out the way you guys had envisioned with Nick. How do you explain why the experience with Nick didn't go the way that you guys envisioned?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of factors that go into that, Dan. Last year when you look at it, and, you know, as we've talked about last season, it's not just Nick. You know, we had other issues with our roster. I can just say from a personnel standpoint that we improved throughout the season and that we're still striving to improve now. So it's just not all on Nick, but I think, you know, we're always looking to add to every position and get better everywhere. And there's no more important position than quarterback. And we feel like we've done that. We feel like we've gotten better than Andy. We're excited to add him. Again, some of the things I mentioned to Mark that I think he adds to our offense. And with those two in there, we got a lot of experience heading into the 21 season.
With Nick already under contract for you, what set him apart as the clear-cut QB1 for you?
Andy, I just think, you know, as we go through it again, just the fit with the offense, the leadership that he provides, again, his decision-making, really when you look back, you know, over the years, I thought this year, you know, over the last 5 years, this was Andy's best completion percentage over the last 5 seasons. So again, we have background with him also as you go through it. And I just think he's a good fit for our offense. So I would say the fit.
According to Dalton, and would appreciate if you could confirm, he says, you know, he was assured that he'll be the starting quarterback. Why? What's the thinking behind assuring him that he'd be the starter as opposed to making it an open competition and potentially even inviting a rookie in?
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Because that's how we see Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback, and we're excited to have him. And again, that went into the evaluation process. He's been a starter in the league for a long time and produced at a high level for a long time. So again, that's all of us collectively in the building, coaches and scouts coming to that conclusion as we went through the free agency process. He's our starting quarterback as we head into this season.
Ryan, understanding that the offseason is ongoing, with the net of where you're at now, what's your case for this team being better than it was when the season ended in January?
Hey, Jason, as we went into this offseason, Jason, we had limited resources in regards to the cap, and it was important for us to retain certain players. So I think as we go through it, and first off, getting guys back like Cairo Santos and Mario Edwards and Jermaine Ifedi, just to name a few, that was kind of the first step in our offseason process. But we challenged ourselves in free agency, really with limited space, to get better. And I thought our pro scouts and our coaches did a really good job adding valuable pieces. Were we big spenders in free agency, Jason? No, but I thought we addressed a lot of needs. As you talk about guys like Andy Dalton and Angelo Blackson and Jeremiah Tashi, Desmond Trufant, Christian Jones, Isaiah Wilkerson, Damian Williams, to name a few, those are all needs for us and important players for us to add. And that's all before we go into the draft with 8 picks.
Hey, Ryan, just for clarity's sake, because we in the media get asked so often about the scheme fit and why it didn't work with Mitch, and you say Andy Dalton fits the scheme. What about Mitch's game didn't fit the scheme, just for clarity?
There's a lot of things that come down to that. And again, Stacey, we're really looking forward and excited about Andy. And I would talk more about that. I just think Andy's experienced. He's played in a lot of games in this league. He's won a lot of games in this league. Andy makes good decisions. He's accurate. And we just feel he's a fit for our offense. So instead of talking about the past and Mitch, I'd like to more talk about the future with Andy and what he provides. And we're excited about that.
That's the Ryan Pace game plan. Just be excited about the next guy. Don't worry that the other guy sucked. It's just more of the same.
It is.
They're just guys. He's just talking about names of guys.
When he brings up Jermaine Ifedi, like that's a major free agent secure.
What? You're better because of that? Come on.
Okay. The other thing that I think we should note here that we didn't hear in the audio, and I was looking through tweets from the press conferences, I don't mind that George McCaskey voted against the 17-game season. And I know we all want to make jokes about how even George McCaskey doesn't want to see another Bears game, but I think he's respecting players in that. So I would like to point that out. Maybe. However, when it comes to this audio we just heard, hasn't Nick Foles played in a lot of games? And Nick Foles won some pretty important games.
None of it means anything. He just says it's years and years and years of saying the same things without acknowledging anything has gone wrong or anything's been learned from their mistakes. What are you better at now because of the number of quarterbacks you screwed up? The number of ideas, the number of things that were wrong. They won't even acknowledge that anything ever was wrong. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the next guy. I'm still here. I get to pick another quarterback. It's just after a while, I become numb to it, and I don't want to be numb to it. I wish Andy Dalton the best, but man, it's just the next guy about whom they're fired up for nebulous reasons based on everything and everybody, and nobody's responsible for it. It just happens, and quarterbacks appear, and they're put in there, and I just feel kind of powerless hearing some of this stuff after all these years. It's the same. It's the same. It's the same. We are going to give you the finalists for the Tournament of Greatness. Voting is concluding in 2 minutes. You have 2 more minutes, or slightly less, to get in at Bernstein Rahimi on Twitter and place your vote to the 2 semifinal games that are ongoing before we get to the results. Also, some really good basketball analysis about Gonzaga and the NCAA semifinals from no less an expert than Ron Coomer. Next on The Score.
He's one of the more complete quarterbacks that we evaluated this year in free agency, and we're excited to have him.
And he's part of Ginger Nation. Holla. The Parkins and Spiegel Show on your ride home. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
The whole Lizzo thing, he should be the easiest to sign. He's the biggest no-brainer to sign. They are underestimating the fans' capacity for anger and dissatisfaction.
You talk about underestimating fan dissatisfaction. Like, they turned out pretty big attendance numbers and revenue numbers when this team was way worse and it accomplished way less than they have now.
Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. An Odyssey Station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The inaugural Bernstein Rahimi Tournament of Greatness presented by Humana, a more human way to healthcare, is now down to two teams, two entries that will face each other in the final to be played on Monday. Terry Bors advances to the final, defeating Bacon 54.4% to 45.6%. Terry is in the final against the story of this tournament, the upstart number 8 seed, the love of a dog. Beats baseball, probably watched yesterday is why, 56% to 44%. So all of the one seeds are out. It's going to be Terry Bors against the love of a dog on Monday. So
Dan,
that is the producer region and the Lister region, meaning Layla, you and I no longer represented.
I don't care because something big happened in the last segment and you just went to break.
What?
You were talking about the Bears and you had this big like Bears realization and then you just went to break and I was baffled. I'm like, did you just quit the Bears and then just casually go to break?
No, I quit them
you
every
sounded
once in
like
a while.
You quit the Bears. You were like, I can't do this anymore. It all sounds the same. I'm just like, what is happening in front of my eyes right now?
I always come back. You know, it's like firing Billy Martin or something. You know, I do it every once in a while. I'll just say I'm done with it. And I'm lying.
You just went to break. You like there was like final commercial. I'm just sitting there dumbfounded, like in the rain,
just,
watching.
I can't
you.
Hear him talk about this crap anymore. It's the same stuff. You could have had Andy Dalton if he was such a good fit. He was sitting right there
last year.
All of a sudden, he's a better fit now. Why? What are you learning from all of these mistakes? What are you learning? What are you learning about your craft? How do these mistakes inform you getting better at it? You could have, if all this is true about Andy Dalton, why wasn't it true last year when you traded a fourth round pick for Nick Foles?
Because won a Super Bowl. Since we're talking about just playing a lot of games and those of importance. Okay, I didn't mean to take it to a bad place. And maybe you need to refer to your Bears quarterback bunny nest. Maybe we can find one there.
It was moving.
I just
the nest was
to
moving and I was
that.
Picturing them in there.
I just wanted to clarify before we move to the next thing, because I just, you know, these are the things I learn in my craft on the job, whatnot. So thank you for that.
I'll quit the Bears every once in a while, and then I come crawling back to them, and I'll be screaming at the television and every Sunday and throwing up and then swearing them off and then writing an angry column, and I'm back every week. It's the way this works, and I'm used to it. It's a process. So let's talk a little bit about these upcoming games that we're going to get in the NCAA semifinals. You want to find out about the Gonzaga Bulldogs and how they match up against the upstart UCLA Bruins? Well, how about the analysis we got on the score during a Cubs game from Ron Coomer?
Final four is all set. Do you have a favorite, Coomer?
Well, it's tough to go against the team from Spokane, isn't it?
Boy, the Zags have been unbelievable.
How about that last game they played against SC? That was just surgical, wasn't it?
Yeah, put on an exhibition. Adam steps off the rubber, looks Moran back to second base.
Now, you're Mr. Basketball as the voice of the DePaul Blue Demons. You guys made some news looking for a new coach, but you got a favorite here as somebody who's on the inside of that league?
I think that it's tough to go against Gonzaga. The 2-2 offering, this is tap foul at the plate. They'll do it again. You know, when the NCAA tournament started, I didn't believe that a team could go undefeated for the entire season. You know, it hasn't happened since Indiana did it back in 1976. But the more you watch Gonzaga,
Well, it's almost like they don't rely. Like, it's tough for them to have a bad shooting night because of their transition points, and they get so many baskets, easy baskets, because of the way their offense is set up.
Look at you sounding like Dick Vitale all of a sudden.
That's because I'm in a lot of pools. And I guess who I have to win the whole thing.
Guessing a team from Spokane, right? Yeah.
You're getting smarter every day, buddy.
That's the magic of sitting next to Pat, you know, a former college basketball
player. There you go.
Yeah.
The gunner.
Yeah.
The gunner. That's great analyzing.
You know what? I'd rather hear that than descriptions of Cubs baseball yesterday. That's going to do more for us, I think, in the long run. Good stuff from Coombe. How many pools is he in?
I don't know, but he's not wrong, because Gonzaga forced USC into 7 turnovers in the first half and got 15 points out of transition.
God. Yeah, and there's so many weapons. I mean, it's always somebody else is going to have an advantage at any point. And, you know, we'll see. I can't pick against them at this point. And I said I was looking at FanDuel, and they're you know, minus 1,200 in that game, which I think says much of what you need to know. We have transition coming up. The Lawrence has Joe Madden at noon. So we'll briefly say hi to Lawrence. We'll get out of his way and let him talk to Joe. That's all coming up on your day here on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Chicago baseball fans, don't miss Inside the Clubhouse tomorrow morning and every Saturday, 9 to 11, with your host, Score Baseball Insider Bruce Levine, and Score Morning co-host David Hall, focusing on Chicago baseball and the big MLB topics, too, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by Bet Rivers, Chicago's hometown sportsbook, and Odyssey Station. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot. No. You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. You are an idiot.
Tone's like a 9 there. I didn't, you know, take it down to like a 4 or 5.
Thanks, I think, to Sahadev Sharma for joining us today. Matt Miller, always great. Thanks to Connor O'Donnell, Brian Gertz, Jay Zawoski, and Jordan Malley. Transitions brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. And Lawrence Holmes is here with Joe Madden coming up a little bit. What's up, Lawrence?
Yeah, Joe is going to be on the show momentarily. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to talking with White Sox fans about everything that happened in the game last night and how, like, all the stuff, like, came up. Yeah. Bad decisions on the bases. One of them turned out well. You have
challenge.
Yeah.
Process finely tuned.
Forget about the process. There was no consequence to challenging at that point in the game. You were going to lose it anyway, so you might as well have made the challenge. It's fine, though. It's fine. Manager's totally with it. Totally with it. He's got it. Totally with it. I really enjoyed you guys' segment. I think it was at 10 o'clock. Like, I think that's about the time I finished my run. And you guys were talking about, like, realizing all of the good stuff and the possibilities, like, opening up, like, as Layla's at the game. And I had that moment yesterday because I got my first dose yesterday. And I walked back to the car, you know, and they give you the return date or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I could, if I wanted to, I could start planning domestic travel. Again, and it was like a very small moment, but it was a very genuine moment of happiness.
Yep.
To even think about, well, I could go hang out in the desert for a couple of days and see my peoples out in the desert. It was very, like, very well run yesterday at University of Chicago, and you could see, like, almost see the relief on people's faces after they got that shot.
Oh, you can. I think that's the best way to put it, is there's probably something you miss doing a little bit more than you realized, and there's a wave of relief that will overcome somebody. And I think also we don't talk enough about how we're also not getting anybody else sick. You know, that's a big thing too. And I know there's debate about that, but you can stress out about that a little less too when you do the other things.
No doubt. And now it's starting to look like that people who are vaccinated aren't carrying the disease around, which is great news. And so, you know, I'm listening to my mom. Like, she got both of her shots done, and her talking about like what that's like for her, and then thinking about like, I haven't hugged my mom in a year. Like, I like that's it's just really heartbreaking in a lot of different. And I'm glad, like, I'm here for it. Like, I posted my card. I'm here for everyone posting theirs and posting all of the pictures. Like, I honestly need that. Like, I need people posting pictures of like being reunited with their families and hugging their grandparents and having their kids meet their grandparents, like all that sort of stuff. I'm here for it. Like, this, it's the one time where I'm like, overshare on social media. Do all you need to do to overshare.
Well, it also, if in any way around the margins, that speaks to some of the atavistic groups that don't want to understand science, that want to make this confrontational, or want to make this something that it isn't. Every little bit helps. If sharing and if helping to educate, if it helps one more person turn around and say, you know what, I think some of this may be right or the right thing to do. There's a civic duty aspect to some of this stuff, that of what it does to help build up herd immunity, to help take the pressure off, to help. And it's absolutely the right thing to do for so many reasons. And I'm terrified that there are still so many people who are uninformed and actively misinformed about the vaccines, about what vaccines do, about how they work, about how amazingly safe they are, and about how the efficacy of these and what's been done, the miraculous creation of these worldwide. Be a part of what's going on right here, and it's a wholly good thing to get vaccinated, so do so.
It brings a lot of joy to people. It makes people happy. I think happier people are better for all of us. So you two have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to talk to the manager of the Angels right now. I got some questions for him. That is Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Bernstein and Rahimi, you can check it out every day, 9 a.m. until noon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.